Podcast. I'm your host, Will Bradley, along with my co-host, Phil Mendoza, who, for this very special edition of the Natural Born Hunter Podcast, is in his truck on the way back from the mountains, where he just spent the past weekend scouting for sheep. So, Phil, how'd it go?
Not good, man. We spent the last few days up in the high country and checking out the lay of the land, learning what a bitch it's going to be here in about a month is what we were basically learning.
So, I mean, I'm an East Coast guy. I have never sheep hunted. What is the lay of the land out there?
We were bouncing between 12 and 13,000 feet up and down different peaks and glassing, and it's just gnarly terrain, man. It's vertical, or it's tough to climb around certain areas, and then it's tough to get around with a lack of oxygen up there. So it's definitely not something I'm experienced in. That's why we brought Big Brother Aaron with us, and he was schooling us along the weekend. But it was good, man. I'm excited for the hunt.
Now that's the previous guest, the legend of the backcountry, Aaron Snyder, correct?
It's right here. Yep, right here. It was awesome. I can't feel my lungs right now, but it's great.
Geez, so you're up at 13,000 feet, and what elevation do y'all live at?
We're about 5.
So that's a pretty big change.
What's that?
That's a pretty large change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, first couple of climbs we were definitely feeling it. It wasn't a blow and go type of hike. It was definitely move a little bit and wait, move a little bit and get acclimated. So it was good though. It was great to get up here with these guys and spend a couple of days in the backcountry and check out quite a few animals.
And you got a loaded car there, Phil. Who's all with you today?
So, along with Aaron Snyder here, we've got Braden, Fred, and Frank. Fred got a mule deer tag in the same area, so we were kind of checking out some mule deer up there in the process and just kind of getting stuff ready, getting some game plan for the opener.
Now, when is the opener, and what is your plan this season for all the people who may not have been listening to the episodes or may not know that you drew a sheep tag this year?
My tag starts August 1st, and Fred, your tag starts August 28th?
It's September 1st.
It's September 1st for Fred's mule deer tag, so month apart, we're in essentially the same area, same general area. Maybe not the same part of the mountains that we're going to be hunting, but very close. But that's essentially when it starts.
And you're going to be heading out opening weekend then?
What's that?
And you'll be heading out opening weekend for that?
Yeah, that's the game plan. We've got some stuff planned out where we're probably going to get in there, a day or two early and try to get the sheep located, and we ran into some technical difficulties this weekend with the marmot.
With varmint?
So marmots. A marmot's kind of like a big-ass rat that lives at 13,000 feet, and those little feather muckers ate the gas line off my four-wheeler, so I had to ride dirty the whole way down. I'm talking all in mail, like, bounce the balls right off you because the fuel was leaking out of the gas line as fast as we were putting it in it. Phil took his hose. He's very resourceful. He took his hose from his water pump, siphoned it out of his four-wheeler into a water bottle, and then poured it into mine. And it was kind of one of those things, like it finally started, and about in the middle of him saying, "You good to go?" I throttled it. And I didn't see him again until I ran out of fuel about three-quarters of the way down, and they towed me the rest of the way. So right now we're going to talk to Patrick, the guy that owns Kefaru. He's got a six-wheeled, six-seater UTV, I guess you'd call it, and I'm going to have to kiss his ass in public and have him drive us to the top and drop us off for the hunt, I think. If we don't, we're going to have to set some type of electrical chicken wire fence around the four-wheelers or the truck, because when we came down, they were doing pull-ups on Phil's brake lines, but they hadn't quite eaten anything off it. No, they ate Phil's pull cord off his four-wheeler and took a shit on his seat, so that's a big F you from the marmot.
So there was quite a few critter problems up at 13,000 feet.
Yeah, they're the devil rats themselves is what they are.
I'm still trying to get the image of you just rough riding the four wheeler down the mountain while running out of gas out of my head.
Say that again, Will. We just had some chick try to pick up on Aaron on the way back in.
You can't take him anywhere without chicks coming at him.
Yeah, we got to beat him off with the stick. If there was any up in the high country, then, we would have been doing the same up there.
I'm surprised we didn't follow you up there.
Brayton just said that, Fred took his shirt off and you can hear the panties drop from the trail. Is that how the phrase goes? No, man, it was a good weekend. Like I said, I wouldn't say there wasn't any exciting parts, like any like fireworks per se. The getting the four-wheeler down the hill was definitely an exciting cap to the weekend. It was good, man. I mean, there was some parts of the hike that definitely make your butt pucker a little bit, but it was, I'm looking forward to getting up there again.
You guys sound pretty fired up. It sounds like an exciting weekend. So why don't you recap from us? Take us from the beginning to now, what you all went through.
Aaron, why don't you go ahead and start with as far as kind of getting prepped out for, getting up there and lining us all out.
Well, the big thing was with the altitude, we were trying to drop weight as much as we could. So we divvied up gear for the most part. And then it's about a four-hour drive, and then we took four-wheelers up to where we took off from, and then there's five of us. We got down towards the valley floor, and we split up, and Frank and Fred, which is F-squared now, which Brayden came up with that. So F-squared went one way, and then Brayden and I and Phil with the other, and I gained about almost 2,000 feet in altitude and a mile to climb where we were going, and it's an area I'd seen sheep before. And then F squared went over to another area to find mule deer. So it was definitely an epic physical adventure. Phil fell down. He left that out as far as the fireworks go. When he hit the ground, I didn't know if a sniper got him, if he's hit his head or what. And he's laying in the middle of a marsh kind of grunting a little bit. And it ended up being, he's better than him. He's all right. His leg's a little stiff. I'm not sure what happened, but he muscled it up the hill. So we got to camped, I think, at 12:04, and then climbed up, each morning to about 13 and glass. And then, as you can imagine, how that climb out was. Although Fred kicked the shit out of all of us on the climb out, I'm not going to lie. There's a little motor scooter. That's the short version of what happened.
So Phil got shot. Frank and Fred formed an unbelievably close bond.
Well,
balls off.
Frank and Fred blast from an area that I had told them about, and I may have left out, there's not really a place to sleep, so that was left out. Frank pulled a full-on Clan of the Cave Bear and slept under a rock. And then Fred, he's short, so he didn't need a lot of square footage. And so they moved a few rocks out of the way, and Fred slept in the other spot. He was in the fetal position.
So you got the two guys splitting off, sleeping under rocks, on rocks, just rough riding the trip. And then what was your what was the other three people's sleeping situation like?
Ours, as you can imagine, since, Braden and Phil were with me, ours was epically flat with the beautiful, pristine creek flowing through with ice, so Phil could see right beside us. So we had, every bit of, I mean, I slept a solid 6 hours, which for me is a bunch. Phil was snoring, and he's in a bivy, and he had it locked up tight. So it's kind of blowing up like a balloon. Like, you know when you have, like, a panic attack, you got to blow in a paper bag? That's what Phil's bivy looked like. And then, so it was pretty epic where we were. I don't know what those other guys' problems were.
So Phil had the old cartoon breeze going in his bivy?
No, it was it wasn't that bad. No, we all brought bivvies and tarps for the most part. So just for the access for square footage for sleeping isn't the best in certain spots. So you almost have to have a bivy or a tarp to be able to pitch it on off-camera slopes or whatever.
And what elevation were you guys sleeping at?
We were at 12.2, I think, 12.4, something like that. And then we had to climb, I don't know, I'm going to say 1,000 feet to make it sound better, but we had to climb about 1,000 feet each morning to the glassing point.
So how long does a hike like that take? I think I hiked about, I went up to the High Peaks yesterday, did a little hike. It was, I think, like 2,000 feet I gained from bottom to top, and I thought to myself, you know, of you guys and how much you were going to have to hike, and I thought, man, their fucking legs are going to be crushed by the end of this weekend.
Yeah, it was interesting. We all did good. Nobody really ever petered out or anything, but it took 35, 40 minutes. What about what it took? No, oh, hell no. No, I think it took 35, 40 minutes for us to get from camp to the glassing point, and then what did it take us to get out? Yeah, it was probably 45 to an hour to go from where we all met up to get back to the trailhead, which that's another 1,500 foot climb or more out. And it's not really the distance or even the steepness, that there's just no oxygen up there. It's pretty hard to catch your breath.
So not even you are used to the elevation out there.
No, not at all. In fact, Fred did better than all of us. Fred was a big wall climber for years, and we give him shit because he's so shredded, but he's got road maps across his entire body. When he takes his shirt off at the trailhead, you can hear panties drop all the way into northern Colorado. He's shredded, and he looks kind of like a cross between Owen Wilson. And remember Matthew McConaughey in Reign of Fire when he dives off that tower into the dragon?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Read the shorter version of that.
So he's easy on the eyes, you're trying to say.
What's that?
He's easy on the eyes.
Well, I mean, if I was gay, which I'm not, but if I had the rainbow thing like everybody's doing on Facebook, I would take him out to dinner.
You know, the rainbow thing on Facebook doesn't mean you're gay. It means you just support marriage equality, right, Aaron?
Well, I'm from Oregon, and it means you're gay.
I mean, right now, the way this trip sounds, it does sound a little bit like that Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal movie y'all had going on out back there.
I mean, potentially from a guy from New York to get down like that, but, I mean, when you come out here and you go with us, I will see by the end of the day if you're like, Phil, will you rub my legs? Or or rub your feet, one or the other. But it is tight quarters.
Hold on. Are you guys rubbing each other's legs and feet out there?
Well, we didn't have to rub our legs, but I'm almost betting we'd have to rub your legs. I'm not sure. I'm just saying, if we did, I'd pick one for the team. I'd rub your legs. I wouldn't tell anyone.
Well, I appreciate that, Aaron. From a handsome young lad like yourself, that you would give me a leg rub up at 13,000 feet.
Yeah, no problem. Whatever it takes.
So did they see any mule deer out on their scouting trip?
We probably saw, 400 to 300 elk. 300 or 400 elk in 50, 60 mule deer, and then two sheep. Well, we saw more than two sheep. F squared saw some a ways away. And then, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, there was animals in every direction, but that area we go, that doesn't get really any pressure because we climb in there, so there's always a lot of animals there.
And did you see the kind of sheep you were hoping to see out there?
The one sheep that we saw was definitely a shooter, but it's the population of sheep in a lot of these areas, you know, to go down there, we were there basically, 2 days, so it's a little more difficult just because the numbers aren't there, because a lot of times it can take, a couple, 3 days just to find where they're at. So really it was just for, Fred to get to familiar with the area as well as, Phil, so everybody kind of knows what's going on, for their hunt.
And where is it you guys are going?
What's that again?
Where is it you guys are going?
It's kind of by the Maroon Bell wilderness area. It's pretty cool. It's just, I'm trying to think of the closest area. Frevert Basin isn't too far from there.
We'll just call it Brokeback Mountain for now.
Yeah, exactly.
just for reference.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet you.
I mean, I hiked a mountain yesterday, and I was with women, but hey, everybody's different. I wasn't, grassing for any animals, so, I can't talk to that, but it was a pleasant day.
Gotcha. Hey, now where are you from in New York?
Where Utica is?
Hey, if you get a divorce there, is she still your sister? I was actually stationed up there in Watertown, Fort Drum for a while.
Yeah, that's I walked right into that one. Ah, man. So, Phil, you're talking about taking, you're going to go opening weekend. That means you will be missing out on Trained Hunt Nationals.
Yeah, it's unfortunate when, schedules overlap like that. But, at the end of the day, drawing a sheep tag that can take, takes 8 to 10 years to draw. And, we all love the community at Train the Hunt and the crowd that's there. But that's kind of, in my opinion, the preparation for the hunt. And if my hunt starts early, well, then I need to be focusing on the hunt. So drawing a sheep tag up there is definitely going to be my priority here for the next, 3 to 6 weeks, depending on how long it takes.
And it sounds like you're going to have to do a lot more hiking preparation for where you're going.
Nobody really petered out. I mean, it was just a matter of pacing yourself and knowing what you can do. We all got up the mountain within a couple minutes of each other when we were hiking up there, except for the incredible Fred, who doesn't like to stop when he climbs, 2,000 feet in elevation. But it's more of the same, man. The way I've been working out the last couple of years, it's just more of the same. It's just getting ready for getting my body as best I can. I know Braden's always going to be, he's always prepared. Aaron's grinding it out every day too. And we haven't talked a whole bunch about Frank, but Frank the Tank is his nickname, also known as. But everybody, like I said, we all made it up there without really any problems. And there's no doubt that here in another 3 weeks to a month and 3 weeks, whenever Fred starts his hunt, everybody's going to be ready once we get up there. It's just fine tuning right now.
So are you guys all going together on both of these trips, or is there a plan as far as that goes, or?
No, Aaron and Braden are going to go with me. There's a plan right now to go up opening weekend. Fred may go solo September 1st for a while in there. So it just depends. I mean, everybody's general deer and elk tags start around that same time in September, so Fred's the only one that drew in that unit this year. So it's, we'll see. I mean, if somebody, tags out early or if Fred gets some down, some of us aren't too far from each other. And, sometimes it's just a matter of getting a cell phone service and giving a phone call to get somebody in there to give them a hand if somebody needs it.
Well, that's pretty sweet. So, from what it sounds like, Braden will also be missing Nationals.
I'm not going to speak for Braden yet. I know he's still got some logistics to work out. He's, I just won't speak for Braden. We'll let Braden decide that. And
is Braden there?
What's that?
Is Braden there?
He's here, yeah.
Put him on.
What's that?
So, Braden, what's going on? Are you, for those of you who don't know, Braden's a Colorado guy, fellow trained hunt competitor, friends with the Dirty North Archery Boys. What's your plans as far as hunting and nationals and whatnot go this upcoming season?
My plan is to be still on the mountain trying to get a sheep off the mountain.
Man, you're a hell of a guy.
Yeah, you know, we train to hunt, and when your friend draws that tag, A, you want to be there to help him and be around for it, and B, you just want to be part of that adventure. So that's, like he said, I love the community and enjoying being there for the train to hunt, but the adventure that we're about to partake in is something else that you can't really replicate at any event like that. So.
Well, I guess that comes back to a few conversations I know I've had with guys we've had on here, and that is that trained hunt, you are actually training for a purpose.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it gives somebody a goal to attain or to look to while they train. Is for that competition, but also to keep in mind that, you know, we actually do this to be in the mountains and, you know, to be able to get to 13,000 feet, not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days, but 4 or 5 days, and be able to do it consistently and not peter out and still be able to take an animal off the mountain. So,
do you feel like training for the events you've gotten even more prepared, say, this year than previous years? You know, you weren't going to compete, or, you know, were you always coming in ready to take the bull by the horns, as it were?
You know, I've just, every year I've learned something about my training and how it replicates or how it results on the mountain, and I've adapted to that and definitely changed things and modified things and getting results. And I think this year is probably one of the like you said, I'm usually prepared, but I think this year I'm more prepared than most years before, just because of that modification, that adaptation, and just ready to go. So
I think this speaks to how, you know, in my eyes, bow hunting is kind of that ultimate sport where you have an event for training to hunt just to get you as ready as you possibly can be ready. And then when you go out there, you're like, oh, I can't control, you know, the terrain. I can't control if there's going to be, you know, mountain rats out there chewing up my stuff, all this stuff. And you just have to adapt, overcome, and keep pushing your body no matter what happens, because you do have a bigger purpose in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's more of a, at this point, at the level that, you know, guys like Phil and Josh Bednors and Aaron and Fred and Frank and all these, at this point, it's not a physical thing by any means. It's more of a mental thing. It's being able to know where you can push yourself to go, rather than physically, we know we can do it. Physically, we're all there. Physically, you know, we're prepared. It's just, you have to do the physical training to push you to a mental point that you can adapt to those things and you can push through those things.
And then that's the thing. You're not just going for a weekend camping with your buddies, you know, I guess is what a lot of people would be doing. You're out there scouting with a whole purpose, a whole end game in mind.
Absolutely. I mean, we're doing our planning to demand, make a successful hunt. And as with anything in life, the more planning you do and the better planning you do, typically the results are better. So being prepared to, in a situation like this, in the country that, you know, we're looking at, you've got to be prepared physically just to go scout it. It's not just go drive down the road and stick your spotter out of your truck. It's, you know, all the elevation gain and everything that we talked about. You've got to be prepared for just the scouting portion of it. And the scouting portion is also a test drive. I mean, you test drive equipment, you test drive what your pack's going to look like, what weight you can cut, what weight you can't cut, how much food you can eat, what's the littlest amount you can go off of and survive and still thrive. And so it's always a testing process.
And so what's your process look like, say, leading up to, you know, a scouting trip like this or a hunting trip, whether it's out there with elk or you're going to support Phil? What's your setup and stuff look like?
I'm a piss poor planner, so it's usually just throw as much in my bag as I can survive on and then go from there and figure it out from there. So I've got, you know, I've been doing this a while. I've got some confidence in my abilities in the woods, and you know, if I have to rely on that, I have to rely on that, and I know I can. So, and you know, like Aaron's always said, we're in their ways, but if shit fan, you know, there's you can get out of there in a reasonable amount of time, or you know what you're doing. So mine's pretty much throw everything on the floor that I think I need, all my systems, and throw it in the bag the best I can. It works right the best, and go.
That's all you can do. I mean, it's an adventure, right?
Exactly. And that's all part of it.
So you want to put either Frank or Fred on the phone? We'll get their take on the weekend?
I think they can chat.
Stopping that. This is Will Bradley, co-host of the Natural Born Hunter podcast. And which one of the good-looking gentlemen am I speaking with now?
We're both excellent-looking, I think.
the camera loves me. I'm a brown Brad Pitt.
A brown Brad Pitt?
What's that?
You're a brown Brad Pitt?
Yep, that's not. That's what I've been told.
So which one are you? You're Frank or Fred?
It's Frank.
Frank? And so you, was it your tag? That was, you drew the mule deer tag in that section?
Say again?
Now, is your mule deer tag you were in there scouting for?
Fred's the one with the deer tag. I was just tagging along to help him scout, and we checked out a few bases.
Now, have you been out there with these boys before, or was this your first trip out there with them?
Frank had been out there a bunch of times. This was my first time out. This is Fred. But, so this was my first time in that area. But, yeah, it was freaking big.
Yeah? Have you gone out with Aaron and Phil before, or is this first time?
What's that again?
Have you been out there with Aaron and Phil before, or is this your first time?
First trip with them here, but I've been down there a bunch, fishing trips and camping trips and stuff like that, so I'm fairly familiar to the area.
I'm going to need one of you boys to speak into that speaker a little bit more.
I'm sorry, man, I can't hear you.
Here, give the phone to Phil for a second.
Phil?
Hey, Will.
Phil, you want to give these boys a walkthrough on how to use the phone?
Sorry, man, it's a little rough on the audio on our end. Give me one sec. I'm going to... Hey, Will.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Okay, so I have to kick you back on speaker, man. The phone, the audio through the phone is not great, and we apologize to the people listening out there.
This is a recording. We're not in a studio. Well, I'm in a studio, but you're in a truck.
That's it. And you know, we talked before about, you know, maybe recording a podcast on the way back from this trip. You know, the better thing would have been for me to carry around a microphone for the weekend, because the one-liners and the stories, you know, that get shared when we're up in the mountains, you know, it's pretty comical, but it's kind of what you know creates a bond between the friends too. You know, we
joke around, we share stories, and we learn a little bit more about each other we didn't know about, and sometimes it's, you know, those little stories come out when you need to pick somebody up, you know, from, you know, when they're feeling a little bit kind of drugged through the mud. So it was a good weekend, man. It was, like I said, it was, you know, got to spend some time, you know, I've got to hike with Fred a few times when we've been doing the training. I run into Frank a few times at Cafaro. He works at Cafaro also, but hadn't got a chance to spend a little bit of time in the hills with him. So it was definitely a learning experience weekend all around, and there was no shortage of laughter, that's for sure.
So what did you learn about these boys?
What's that?
What did you learn about these boys?
Well, like I said, we already talked about Fred. That you know, we joked around about the 3% body fat and the fact that, you know, he puts it in gear and he just goes. But Fred actually he's got his first little one coming here sometime in mid-September. So that was why, you know, coming out here to this area, him scouting it out. He's got limited time to hunt this year because, of course, you know, we all know family. We got to take care of that. But Brett's got a little one coming, so he's hoping to get some meat for the freezer to feed the family, you know, with that coming up. And Frank, you know, Frank's kind of low-key. He chimes in. He's got some good one-liners. And like I said, he's Frank the Tank, man. It don't matter where we're going, he's ready to go. So, and then, you know, Brady and Aaron, these are guys that they've got plenty of experience in the mountains. We all know that. You know, Aaron, you know, there's so many people that lean on Aaron for advice and you know, basically helping them to eliminate some of the mistakes that you might encounter when you're preparing for, you know, whether it's a sheep hunt or an elk or deer hunt. So it was more of the same. I try to keep my ears open. I have a tendency to run my mouth, but I definitely try to listen and learn, you know, pick up on little things that you can. You know, like we were climbing down a pretty steep slope yesterday, and I'm not one to hike with walking sticks a lot. You know, we brought them, of course, because it's pretty steep terrain, and like Aaron uses the walking stick as an ice axe, right? It doubles as an ice axe. And there was some of those spots that he said, you know, when we come back up, we should all have something like that with us, because, you know, we're talking climbing up and down steeps, down slopes that you're on your hands and knees climbing, or your ass is dragging the ground when you're going down, and, you know, using the walking stick to help you stabilize and just keep your balance, because, you know, it's a lot of stuff that you can tell something to someone, but unless you're up there doing it, you can't explain it, you know. So you got to get out there and experience it, and hopefully not kill yourself in the process.
No, you definitely don't want to die out there.
No, it's a long way down, and you know, it'd be unfortunate for any kind of, you know, anything like that to happen. But we try to pick our routes as carefully as we can. We want to get to certain places to get the most out of what we can, you know, what we can do, and then let the optics, you know, do the rest of the walking for us. But still, you're right. I mean, we need to be careful and be aware of the surrounding out there. But like Aaron's been up to this area many times and hunted in the past, so he was pretty familiar with the lay of the land, and we just navigated it best we can, and like I said, just, you know, learned it. Got he said,
you guys there that were
got to test drive some of our equipment, and it's just, like I said, at this point we're so close to the season. It's just fine tuning equipment, making sure the bow's dialed in, seeing if we can shave a few pounds here and there, because when you're gaining that kind of elevation in short, you know, short time, you need to make sure that if there's something in your pack that doesn't need to be in your pack, you know, you better leave it in the truck. Because it hurts when we're going up there, and especially if we're fortunate to tag out, you know, that's just that much more weight that we're going to have to you know, live with going up and down those hills to get it out.
So are you feeling pretty confident going into opening weekend?
you know, I'm not a cocky guy, but I'm always a confident guy going into season. You know, I know that I do what I can. I've got a busy lifestyle, but I take my time. I think I maximize the time I do have to prepare as far as shooting or working out. So you always got to be confident and go in there, man. You never want to go into any season or you know, event or tournament, you know, questioning yourself, because you want to start questioning yourself, you know, especially like for the upcoming hunt I have at 12,000-13,000 feet, better stay home. You know, it's not going to work out good. So I'm confident. I mean, I've got, like I said, two of the best guys going with me that I can think of to join me on the hunt. So I'm not, I mean, all around, if we get something down, I'm confident all around. And you know, I just, I'm very humbled to have friends just to go with me on this kind of hunt, because it's, you know, they're taking their time away from their families and their work schedule and everything else. So I'm excited. Like I said, you know, if you could take a camera and follow it around just for the experience to see what it takes to get up there and what, you know, what we're going to go through to try to tag out on a sheep, you know, on my specific hunt, it's nothing different from anybody else's hunt. It's just this specific one is very meaningful to me, because the next time I could potentially draw a sheep tag, you know, I'll be in my 50s. So I'm excited and I'm confident. I don't want to say I'm ready. I want to take a breather. So, you know, we definitely, you know, humped up some hills this weekend. Take it easy tomorrow. Get stretched out and roll out some sore spots. But you know, just get back here for the next couple of weeks to grind it out hard with the cardio and keep working the legs. And then, you know, the 3-4 days before season starts, dial it back, freshen up the legs a little bit, and be ready to go, man. I mean, it's, like I said, it's that dream hunt. It's that tag you've been waiting for, you know, and I've got it. I've got one of them, I should say. There's many guys out there that have similar tags, but, you know, all around, like I said, I'm happy with the weekend. We got to learn the country a little bit. We got to, you know, check our legs and our lungs up high elevation, and the rest is just, you know, get the stuff, you know, get fine-tuned a little bit. Here, once the season starts, get ready to get up there. You know, do the best we can and hope for the best. With a little luck, we'll be able to walk off that mountain with sheep on our back.
Hell yeah. And do you feel like all the training you've been doing for competitions and the events and with the, you know, the Mountain Warrior boot camps Aaron's been throwing together, that's all really put you where you need to be coming into that weekend?
Yeah, it's 100%. You know, the training for me, like I said, over the last couple of years, you know, you keep seeing what works best for you and you see what doesn't work as good, and you keep molding you just restructure your workouts and your preparation. But, you know, getting to work out with, you know, I mean, just that the whole Mountain Warrior group that goes out and hits the trails, like I said, there are certain days that certain guys don't, you know, they're not feeling the best, or they're not out there 100%, but they're still out there grinding it out. And all that matters, because, you know, once you're staring at those steep slopes and trying to climb up that hill, you know, in the back of your mind, you've developed some toughness just grinding it out in those workouts. So 100%, I'm happy to be working out with a group of guys like this. For 4 or 6 years, I've been working out all alone. I don't work out with too many people, just because when I like to push myself to a certain point, I know when I can do that. But getting to work out with these guys over the last 6 or 8 months or so, I mean, it just helps you take your preparation to another level. It just, you know, when you think you don't have that, you know, that next gear, you know, you don't want to be the last guy off the mountain. You find that gear, and you just keep grinding. So, like I said, I mean, I don't want to sound like too much of a freaking, I don't want to name drop any names. I'm
I try to be positive. I'm not saying I don't want to be inspirational or motivational to anybody, but what's that?
I said, do you keep hammering while you're out there?
Hey, man, you know, we all keep hammering every day, but, but it's definitely between the years, you know. If, like Braden said, most guys have what it takes physically to do these kind of hunts, but where so many people just don't even get to the trailhead, is, you know, is because it's between the years. And having a couple guys that go with me that I know that, you know, are as good or better physically than me, then, man, it's just, like I said, it helps build that confidence.
I'll eat all your food, though.
So,
yeah.
Do you guys take any supplementation with you?
Yeah, you know, we
supplement guy.
We were repping some of the Mountain Ops Enduro over the weekend and keeping our hydration up, but big thanks to those guys. I know those guys, you know, they threw a promo code out for us to use and supporting what Natural Born Hunter's doing. So Mountain Ops was represented on the mountain there. Aaron was supporting the Mountain Ops hat all weekend. I think we got some good photos.
I had to sniff Enduro at like a 12.2, and that got me to 13.2.
That could be Mountain Ops new slogan. It'll add 1,000 feet to your climb.
you can add a couple thousand feet.
What's that?
I said you can add a couple thousand feet if you snort enough of it.
Stop up a line and do it.
It helps for digestion too.
Which brings me to this. This episode is brought to you by Mountain Ops. That's right. Aaron, I know, takes Mountain Ops. He's big into that. As you heard, they took it this weekend on the hunt. If you use the code NBH20 at checkout, you will get 20% off your Mountain Ops purchase. Which, I mean, come on, that's a fucking sweet deal. You can go back, hear the episode we had with Jordan Casey, just fantastic guys. If you want to support an amazing company who's really turned on the heat in the bow hunting, archery world, check out Mountain Ops. Give their supplements a try because, you know what, they're going to support the movement. They're going to help push it forward. They're the guys you want to be involved with. Anything to add to that, Phil, Aaron, anybody?
Yeah, big thanks on my end. That's it, man. Casey and Jordan doing big things. We appreciate you guys working with us.
Yeah, great guys to deal with, great products, and it's always nice to be involved with people that not only support you but support hunting and are looking to, you know, advance their products as time goes on, listen to their customers. It's all great.
And this actually can kind of be a bit of a multimedia podcast because if you go to the Mountain Ops Instagram, and I believe, is it your Instagram as well, Aaron? You can see a picture of your sleeping situation you guys did have up there on the mountains.
Well, that was ours, as in, Phil, Braden, and myself, that sleep situation. F Square sleeping situation really was not photo worthy because Craig was in a cave. It was dark.
You got a picture?
Did it get well?
Nobody got a picture of the cave?
You got a picture of the cave? We got a picture. Yeah. Hey, we'll share some pictures. We'll share a few pictures of some of the experiences from the weekend.
Yeah, I packed 20 pounds of fucking camper gear. I took photos. I guarantee you that.
So how many pictures do you take on a weekend like this?
I think I took 638 is what my little ticker said, so quite a few.
Holy
shit. Yeah, Aaron definitely packed in more weight than the rest of us because of the camera gear. I mean, it was
I packed in an 80mm spotting scope. These guys had, you know, like on Pirates of the Caribbean, they still had the telescope thing out.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is that? So they did bring optics.
So you brought up the Hubble telescope.
Yes, we did.
The monocle from Mr. Monopoly.
Yeah.
I've been eating Alpine Air, and I'm not too good with spicy food. I threw some Tabasco in it, and it just came out.
Yeah, we're going to vomit in the truck.
Air's hot in your truck right now?
I crop dusted the shit out of the shirt bags.
I can't say I'm bummed. I'm here in New York.
Hey, and one other note to self, I'm not going to pack the chicken and mashed potatoes Mountain House because that found itself coming out twice this morning as opposed to my once a morning type deal. So, we all learned something this weekend, and from the meal perspective, chicken and potatoes is not a good thing for Phil's stomach.
And you sure it's the chicken and potatoes?
I guarantee you it was the chicken and potatoes. Don't get me wrong, I was shoving food down my mouth every chance I got so I could make sure I had energy to get up and down the hills, but I'm pretty confident that's what was the knife in the coffin there.
I think that trips like this where people get the dangerous ultralight mentality going on, because believe me, every step I took, I'm like, what can I take out of my pack? And I think guys will go in and get their ass handed to them and get nothing, but I've got to drop a significant amount of weight out of my pack. And there's a lot too that I could definitely want to go in light, but as these guys saw, this area is not a place you really want to, you don't want to go too ultralight, because it is a pretty extreme area compared to some guys that hunt in certain parts of Idaho, let's say, that, you can hear them like, oh, I'll just hike out, or, well, I can do this, or I won't bring this. And you can do that, but the chances of hiking out and hiking back into the area we were, hiking out won't be a problem. Having the balls to hike back in the next day is going to be a little bit rough mentally just because of the terrain. And so bringing enough is important and not too much.
Yeah, I'm not a guy that skimps on food. Usually, I don't know when you start calculating meals for the day and everything else, and you kind of figure when I have this is enough, I'll usually still throw an extra bar or an extra little package of peanut butter or something else in there to, sometimes curing that sweet tooth is enough to make things a little bit easier on the mind when you're up there too. So, like Aaron said, light, not too light.
Copenhagen. Yeah, I did bring 5 cans of Copenhagen in on a 3-day trip just for safety.
You got to be safe. So, what I'm picking up is the essentials to any good backcountry hunt are peanut butter, Copenhagen, and Mountain Ops Enduro.
And ass wipe.
Lots of wet wipes.
Is that where you're going? You're going wet paper versus dry?
What's that, Will?
You guys are going wet paper versus dry?
I'm kind of a dry, wet, dry guy myself.
I'm a wet all the way.
I'm a
all the way.
I have a system.
It depends on what is coming out.
So if it's not too hard, not too soft, I just use toilet paper. If it's a full-on Mountain House coup where it's clinging on like it was money, I'll do a wet wipe, and then I'll probably finish up with toilet paper. And if I haven't quite got her done, I'm going to touch it up one more time with a wet wipe just to be sure.
Well, it's like cleaning peanut butter out of a Brillo pad. It's just brutal.
What?
You don't want to get monkey ass at 13,000 feet because walking out 6 miles bow-legged because your butt crack hurts so bad, you got to be cognizant of what can't happen if you're not careful.
Then you got to be careful when it comes to your butt crack. What kind of stuff do you guys have going into these hikes?
Say that again.
I mean, obviously Aaron's carrying in 20 pounds of camera equipment along with his telescope, but other than that, what do your backcountry hunting setups look like?
For the most part, like it's most of us, we're in a bivy. We got our sleeping bag in a bivy and a pad. You got your food, you got your essentials, you got your, your kind of oh shit gear list with it's going to entail some first aid stuff, your
you know, I was definitely dropping some ibuprofen down my throat when I kind of slipped and tweaked the knee a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, you know, Aaron's got a lot of videos out there to listen to his essentials in his pack. We all kind of, you know, lean on Aaron for advice when we, you know, if we have a question as far as, hey, what do you think? Is this better or that better?
I know Braden's getting a new stove this week. I had him drop their stove and freaking Marvin ate his jet boil.
Yeah.
So I feel slightly responsible, so I'm going to give him one of my stoves.
Those marmots are the devil rat. That's all we got to say.
Did you say a marmot ate Braden's jet boil?
Yes.
How the
that's
how? Well, you know when the Terminator, when you shoot the one bad guy and it, like, the shit drips off of him? But we found poo from the marmot looked like that was titanium. I wouldn't lie.
Are you hearing okay, Will?
Yeah, I'm hearing all right. I don't know what to say. That doesn't happen often.
Well, we tried to track him and kill him with my ice axe, but we lost his track in the rocks, so we went back to find a sheep.
Oh, man. So, sounds like quite the eventful weekend.
Say that again?
It sounds like quite the eventful weekend.
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, you get a couple guys together, you know, and head out in the woods, and there's no shortage of excitement and laughs and jokes and crap talking and everything else. So the weekend definitely flew by. It was a quick weekend, but no shortage of laughter.
I bet if it was anything like this car ride, I'm sure you were laughing a whole bunch.
Oh yeah, no, it was definitely a lot. But we're kind of getting back to, we're almost at our point where we got to drop guys off and get moving home to everybody's individual houses. But I don't know, you guys got anything else to add on the weekend?
Yeah, good time.
Yeah, pump up the season. Yeah, that's it, man. Just look excited. Like I said, look, leaving a trip like this, everybody's very optimistic and I don't know, you know, that whole work thing getting in the way all the time about getting back up here in different weekends and for the hunt, but the season will be here soon enough.
Hell yeah, work sure can be a bitch sometimes.
Yeah.
So to recap, Phil's got a once in 20 years goat or sheep tag. He'll be looking to fill in early August. I'm sure we'll do another phone call like this or touch back with you guys somehow. Unfortunately, that means you and Braden will not be able to attend, you know, train to hunt nationals. But, I mean, it comes with the sport. Everybody knows we're out there training to hunt. It's time to put the training to use. Of course, I'm sure you'll miss the community, but, you know, it is what it is. This is why I think it's the ultimate sport.
Yeah, I mean, you know, definitely we'll pick things back up next year. We enjoy, you know, getting out there and running around the woods with everybody else with the weight in our back and bows in our hands. So, you know, we want to get out and compete with the guys that come from Texas that are allegedly going to win the national championship, so we got to be ready for that too, right?
Yeah, be ready for everything, brother, next year. I'm coming hard, a lot harder. Unfortunately, I will also be missing nationals due to financial situations. I wish I was going on the sheep hunt, but I will be here in New York State.
The truth of the matter is, well, where are you going to be the week before, Will?
I'll be in Brazil for 10 days on my honeymoon. So come back a couple days before nationals would start. So for me, it's going to be it'll be real hard to do the turnaround time and then you know, drop the money on that. As much as I'll be honest with you, it pains me a little bit to not, you know, be able to go to nationals, but also, you know, If I wasn't going to nationals, I'd try to get in on just going on your hunting trip. But hey, it is what it is, buddy.
Oh yeah, you know, well, like I said, it's something that you know, we enjoy doing, so we'll go back and do it again. It's not like we're walking away for it, you know, forever, but it's, you know, when things like this, like, you know, you get married and having a honeymoon, and you know, like I said, I was fortunate enough to draw this tag, you know, I mean, you know, unless Braden draws a tag in that unit where we're at next year, you know, the, who knows, you know, I might be up with Braden next year trying to chase sheep again, so, you know, we'll see, you know, there's, we all have a lot of irons in the fire, and we try to pick our battles, but, my battle is going to be with the mountain and chase the sheep here in about 3 weeks.
Hey, and that's the real battle, right, brother?
That's it.
All right. This has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast brought to you by Mowen Ops. As you've heard, the testament today from Aaron, the, you know, top 1% of backcountry bow hunters. That shit works when you need it to, so give it a shot. Give it a try. If you use the code NBH20 at checkout, you will get 20% off your purchase, which is probably one of the most kick-ass codes I've heard of so far, so give it a try. Also, our friend of the show, AJ DeRosa, has new film trailers out for his Carbon Wing Print and Searching. If you head on over to his Facebook page or the Dangerous Cow Media Facebook page, you can find the links to that. Check it out. I think they're going to be great, great films. Other than that, Phil, you got anything?
Oh, man, that's it. Like I said, just appreciate Mountain Ops dropping the promo code. And you know, we'll just catch you guys on the next one.
Yep, check out my Facebook page. I'll post them up. If you guys want to see photos, I'll get them up there and hashtag everybody in the group if you want to see a little bit better photos of the trip.
Which,
yeah, and if you got any hate mail for Aaron, just don't put it up. But yeah, Aaron Snyder, he's gonna load a bunch of photos. Like I said, he took a ton of them, and there's some quality images there. So that's it, man.
I may steal a few myself to put up on the Natural Born Hunter page and Instagram. Sorry, Aaron, it happens.
Everybody else does. Don't bother me.
I'll photo credit you though.
I'm going to put, I'm going to put Will Look Man Chowder across them on the watermark.
Sounds, I don't care. I'll put it up. That gets the sponsors.
We'll hashtag BBAP also, so that way they know what's up.
Exactly. All right. Well, this has been the Natural Born Hunter podcast. Wake up, chase your dreams, repeat.